All right, you're back in the DFSR here with our MLB podcast for Thursday, August 31st. I'm Doug Norrie. That is
James Davis.
Ooh, a little delay there, buddy. You okay?
I was trying to think of something clever to say. Damn it! And then I forgot.
That went backwards real quick. after what sounds like a delay, like we're on some weird kind of time delay. We're from dailyfantasysportsrankings.com or dfsr.com for short. Still time to grab a free, I think it's free 7-day trial right now leading up into NFL season. dfsr.com/NFL will get you a long run on that free trial, lead you up until at least the Thursday's games if you signed up today. Thursday pricing just came out last night, so you can go and check out that for free for 7 days, and then just $29.95 a month after, and you're all good to go. And we also have a discount for if you buy the season-long package. Anyway, so NFL here, still time for MLB. Before we get into that, I have a question. This is like a life probability question for you. Wondering your opinion. I'm going to try to keep this to less than a minute and a half here.
That's great. Thanks for
the listeners. I don't want them to completely tune out here, but. Before I started doing DFSR.com, I used to commute to work. I commuted to work for about 15 straight years, driving at least an hour a day. Never got pulled over. Never got a speeding ticket. Had an impeccable driving record. And then I traveled for a while. But since I've been working from home full time and doing this job, I've now been pulled over twice and gotten tickets in the last 9 months. Do you think that I was either A, running insanely good for the first 15 years, running insanely bad now? So there's the first option. C, some sort of mashup, or D, I'm now just driving at prime ticketing time. Like now I'm just like driving to like the gym at 1 o'clock or the grocery store at, 10:30 a.m. or something like that. Real quick, what do you think? What would you say your gut is on why I'm getting more speeding tickets now? It's actually just blowing through stop signs. Go.
Another option, which is now you're doing that rich man's math, which is, you're sitting there and you're going, like in the old days, you used to sweat being like, ooh, if I get a ticket, like my insurance will go up and that will be like a big problem. And I'll to say nothing of the $150 up front. Now that just doesn't weigh on the front of your consciousness as much anymore. So you actually are you're just less careful about abiding by the laws. That's part of it. And then the other part is you're driving, when you were commuting, you drove the same route every day. So you would learn all their little tricks, the cops, the people who are going to siphon off your funds to put them back into their own coffers. You knew all their tricks. Now you don't. Now you're just driving willy nilly all over the place and
blowing through stop signs. Yesterday, I didn't have my license. I didn't even have my wallet on me yesterday.
That's what I mean. That's your rich man's math right there again, where you're sitting there and you're like, what am I going to go find my license before driving here? Like, what's the worst that can happen?
The worst that can happen. All right, let's get into some day and evening baseball. A bunch of teams off today. We have two slates, an early afternoon slate starting around 12:30 Eastern. DraftKings includes the 3:40 Arizona game. FanDuel does not. And then we have a kind of a mini evening slate of 7 o'clock games with, there's like six or seven of them. So not a ton of baseball going on today. Still some stuff to talk about, though. We'll start with the early slate, and I guess we'll sort of like hybrid include the Arizona piece here just for our purposes. But how do you see this early slate stacking up in terms of, I would call it like viability, in the sense of like how much are you interested to play it? I usually get interested when I can find, a pretty easy stack, and then doesn't need to be a completely chalk and obvious pitcher, but I like to feel confident in the pitching options. Do you feel that the early slate kind of checks those boxes?
Not really for me. I mean, Colin McHugh is coming up right now in FanDuel, and I think that makes sense. The expensive pitchers there don't really, they have either some combination of a bad matchup or they're bad. So like Jacob DeGrom against Cincinnati in Cincinnati doesn't really feel that great to me. The Reds, top five team in terms of WOBA against right-handed pitching. Bank One, obviously, not Bank One.
Great American.
I'm losing my mind. He's Great American. Bank One, I was looking at the Diamondbacks right below. Great American is a great hitter's park, obviously, too. So there's not really a lot to like about DeGrom. We shift over to Colin McHugh. So he's up against the Rangers, but the Rangers this season, a top eight team in terms of WOBA against right-handed pitching. I get that they're not pitching in Texas, but it just doesn't, I don't know, it doesn't feel like a great pitching option for me. There are a lot of bad pitchers going, so, the types of guys you can get for your stacks on the hitting side seem pretty solid, but no, I'm not feeling confident about the pitching whatsoever. The thing that would make me feel more confident is if I knew, if McHugh were going to be an 85% start, I think I would like this slate, just because then we can kind of skip the pitcher position and move on from there. But trying to pick from this group of pitchers and figure out who the best cash game play is in a three-game slate is not feeling super easy to me.
Yeah, no, he does, like you said, with McHugh, he gets that ballpark because it is in Tampa Bay, not in Houston. I had a great moment last night where Keuchel's pitching in like a no-no through three, and I got into the chat and I was saying we were on a complete Keuchel fade last night, and which never feels great when you're like on a 70% FanDuel cash game fade of a pitcher who has looked completely unhittable for the first three innings, and then the wheels completely basically I made that comment, and then the wheels for him completely fell off. He allowed six straight base runners, Napoli went yard on him, and I just couldn't have felt better. I wish I made the comment in the first inning and not the fourth, whatever, but no, I think so. I'm with you.
Triggered the magic that caused him to pitch.
Yeah, that's a real thing, dude. You can trigger magic like that just by making comments. It's pretty well known in the DFS that's industry. Really, yeah, no, if you just gotta like go into the chat room and just make some weird comment, like reverse double, like that Bill Simmons stupid like double reverse triple jinx or whatever. Yeah, he's like, yeah, no, I think I don't love the matchup against the Rangers here. They have a little too much power. I get like why the system is pulling him out. He's close to a K per nine guy on the season for 8,000 on FanDuel salary.
What are you supposed to do on FanDuel? It's a 3-game slate, and four of the pitchers are completely unplayable.
Well, I'm also a little confused about this betting line because I don't know. It's -150 Houston with a 9 over under. But Nick Martinez is pitching instead of Cole Hamels. Like, do you think this line is left over from? Do you think this is like a sort of a leftover line from when Hamels was pitching? Because I can't imagine they're only a -150 with like something. We have it calculated at like 4.7 implied runs right now. There's no way that's going to stick this, right? It's stick in this area with Nick Martinez on the mound for Houston, right? Can you see this line climbing in McHugh's favor?
Yeah, so I think I was looking into this a little bit more. We were talking about that earlier. The consensus on that is very strange right now because actually most books have taken it off their books right now. Like I think when the uncertainty came up around the pitchers. So it's not that they're, it's mostly that the line hasn't been updated. You can't place that bet anywhere right now. So yes, that line is going to come up dramatically. I think they were just probably trying to wait on a new pitcher being confirmed before putting a new lineup.
My guess is it ends up something like -180 over under 10, somewhere in that range. All the runs are going to come up on the Houston side. And so still don't feel great about it. I can talk myself into DeGrom. I mean, DeGrom has been, he's such a strikeout machine this year, though the Ks have dropped a little bit for him in the short term, but 10.5 strikeouts per nine, walks have been fine. He's just been a really good pitcher this year, 3.26 xFIP, and the price is not going to completely kill you. 10-3 for his strikeout upside on FanDuel is, it's in the realm for me. I wouldn't clearly pick McHugh over DeGrom here. I think it's the only two guys that you can really discuss are those two guys, obviously, in this early slate. And I do think you can kind of shove in Granke on DraftKings, even though I don't even love that because it's a matchup against the Dodgers. This is all to say, yeah, it's a little bit dicey here. My guess is DeGrom on FanDuel is higher owned than McHugh just because he's just not that expensive. I don't know.
That just makes me not want to play, to be honest. Like, again, this is just a bad matchup for DeGrom. Like, I get that he's great. He's the best pitcher on the slate, and it's not even really especially close. I just don't know. I mean, McHugh also just struggles with giving up home runs. I mean, or I should put more simply, struggles giving up a ton of fly balls. That actually hasn't translated into a ton of home runs this season. But if you normalize his home run to fly ball rate with his historical rates, you're probably looking at a climb of 2 or 3%, which makes him a big home run liability, and generating just 31% ground balls against a team with good power sounds like a recipe for disaster. So like both of those pitchers, I just think they have enough warts that neither feels very good, which I guess means you flip a coin and go with it. But I could see a situation where one is great and the other stinks, and I'm not confident that I can determine which is which.
Yeah, that makes sense. On the stack side, there are some teams we can stack here. A bunch of bad pitchers. When we add Nick Martinez to the mix, it just gets even it gets even worse, I guess you would say, between Stevenson, Colon, Miguel Gonzalez, and Nick Martinez. Is there a team there that you wouldn't mind? All four situations seem great to stack. I mean, do you think that one of them stands out as being worse than the bunch?
Well, yeah, I mean, so I just have a question. Like, so say you're Miguel Gonzalez, right? And you wake up this morning and you look at the lines and you're like, all right, babe, you're talking to his wife, girlfriend, whoever. I'm sure there are plenty of people who have Googled Miguel Gonzalez, girlfriend or wife. And he sits there and he's like, so I've got bad news. I'm really thinking about hanging it up. And she's like, why? You know, I just don't, like, you, this has been a dream of yours ever since I knew you when we were 19 years old. And he says, I'm an underdog to a 44-year-old Bartolo Colon. And she's like, oh no, it's like a pickup where both sides are like -104. And he's like, no, she's really into the gambling piece. Can't tell anyone though, because that's actually a violation of, he would get in trouble. So I shouldn't have shared that piece. But he's like, oh, it's like a pickup -104. No, he's a -144.
Oh,
and she just looks at him, kind of sinks in her chair. He's like, I mean, this has been a dream of yours for a long time. And he's like, yeah, good point, but I understand. Yeah, maybe it is time. So, yeah, but anyway, both sides of that game just seemed great to me. I mean, the White Sox, they're not very good at hitting, but you don't have to be that good at hitting when you're facing Bartolo Colon. And so, that I mean, as much as you can be an off-board stack on a three-game slate or four-game slate on DraftKings, I guess they would qualify. I mean, they've been the Padres of the American League this season. A 305 WOBA against righties is simply horrible. But with Bartolo Colon, anything's in play. The guy is just one of the very worst in the majors. And on the other side, the Twins actually can hit. And Miguel Gonzalez is no great shakes either. I mean, a 5.5x FIP this season, highest of his career by 0.9. His strikeouts have gone down. The walks have gone up. The home runs have gone up. The home run to fly ball ratio has gone up. Everything is going in the wrong direction for Miguel Gonzalez. So, yeah, do like both sides of that game. I think you can. I think the lineups actually, like, if you put your thumb over the pitcher, the lineups actually do look pretty good for such a small slate. It's just, yeah, that pitcher is a real hair in my eye right now.
We got the Twins were crazy chalk last night. Like, this is what happens with, on FanDuel at least, this is what happens with FanDuel late season when their prices don't correct much. They don't really correct at all for matchups in this case. And you get like guys like Dozier, 90% start. Votto was a 90% start. Buxton was a 70% start. Like, this is these are very weird waters to navigate on FanDuel, especially when like chalk is so overwhelming. I do think for this early slate that you're going to see a lot of the same. I think you're going to see I take that back. You're not going to see the Twins guys like Votto chalk against DeGrom, but I do think you're going to see Minnesota guys, especially if you don't have to pay up for pitching like Dozier, Kepler, maybe at the top of the lineup, these guys, and then the Houston guys just as kind of just overwhelming plays and come in. And I could see like Reyes has been another very popular guy to play. As long as he's hitting leadoff, he's in a pretty good matchup against Robert Stevenson. Stevenson does have Stevenson has strikeout upside. Like, he strikes out more than a batter per nine, but a lot of that's coming out of the bullpen where it's much easier to strike guys out than it is when you're a starter. He also just walks just every other guy that he's not striking out, 6 walks per nine. My problem with Reyes, and the reason our system hasn't gravitated his way as much over the last couple of days, is because his team sucks, right? And so, like, this is something that people have a difficult time accounting for. You can be decent and you can be in a good spot hitting leadoff against a bad pitcher when the rest of your guys are just like way above average chances to get out, or just way below replacement, which is what the Mets are right now. That does affect your ability to continue to get to the plate. Now, I still kind of feel the same way about Reyes. I'm still probably going to end up kind of maybe just playing him in this case because he's just still pretty cheap as like a one-off.
I mean, he was almost a 50% start last night in cash games, and that was on a full slate. So I think you'll see something like 100% ownership out of him in the early slate. He also has a better matchup today than he did yesterday.
Agreed. So, I just want to point out that like your team matters, right? Like in the long run and on bigger slates, especially too, like your team does matter, and you can be in a great spot hitting leadoff and you can be cheap. But when the rest of your guys are just kind of auto outs, especially the last four batters in the lineup, then your expectation, or at least your ceiling, is greatly diminished. All right. That's the early slate. Hit us up with a sponsor. Then we'll kind of dive into this mini main slate at 7 o'clock.
Yeah, sounds good. So the sponsor I would love to highlight for you today is FantasyFactor.com. Fantasy Factor has been one of our longest standing sponsors, and they just do a great job. They actually reached out and sent us a thank you that a lot of our DFSR users have migrated over there, and they were re-upping for the next year and for football season coming up. And the reason DFSR users have appreciated playing on FantasyFactor.com is that they just do exactly what they say they'll do, which is provide great software for salary cap DFS games, but in an environment that's just less competitive. You know, it's simply easier to win on FantasyFactor.com because the big money, the big sharks that are out there still aren't there yet. So our users have loved it. Check out fantasyfactor.com. Use promo code DFSR. You can get a 25% no drip bonus. That means you deposit $100. They'll put $25 right into your account for you to play with right away. If your intention is to play DFS in something like a $5 to $50 range per night, fantasyfactor.com is great for you. So check them out and tell them we
sent. All right. Evening slate of games. Also, not a ton to get excited about here, but we can roll through some of the pitching, options at least. We got a couple of big names here: Gio Gonzalez going, Madison Bumgarner going. There is no line on the Cubs game right now, where this is just a typical Chicago Cubs. It's too early in the morning. We'll probably in like the next hour and a half have a line out on the Cubs. I do see the wind though in Chicago is blowing in, and they're heavy favorites. Do you like Kyle Kendricks in this situation? Like, he's not the flashiest guy, but let's assume, with the 15-mile-an-hour winds blowing in, we get this over-under somewhere in like that 7.5 to 8 range. He's a heavy favorite. Can you, for those two factors, can you talk yourself into a guy like Hendricks?
Yeah, I think for me, it's probably actually going to come down to a decision between Bumgarner and Hendricks. I think right now the thing kind of having me lean in Hendricks' direction is the run line, or rather the money line. Bumgarner right now is looking like a pick'em against St. Louis. He's got a lot of other stuff going well for him tonight, so I definitely don't want to dismiss him out of hand. But the fact that Hendricks is a -215 favorite up against just a simply terrible Atlanta team, and if the weather goes in his favor, I could see that becoming even more favorable. The only note that I have with Hendricks against the Braves, I do think the upside is rather limited in spite of his low price point. Hendricks' Ks have drifted down back to his established career levels, around 7-8-8 right now, and the Braves just aren't a team that strikes out very much. They don't really do much when they do hit it, but the 19.4% K rate against right-handed pitching is bottom three in the league. So like him for safety, don't love him for upside.
Yeah, the Braves top of the lineup, like, they don't strike out. The top of this lineup actually really doesn't strike out a lot at all. Inciarte doesn't K, Phillips doesn't K, and Freeman really doesn't. So you don't love him.
And especially against
Freeman. Exactly. And so that really does decrease your K expectation. Kemp is a strikeout machine, but then Markakis doesn't either. So, like, for the first five guys in the lineup, you're already getting greatly reduced strikeout odds against that group, even though they're not, like, they're not complete mashers or anything, but it just kind of does matter, right? Like, Hendricks, to be able to boost him at all, he needs to get into those plus K matchups, and this just isn't one of them. It's going to be basically the run line and the money line, like you said, are going to be the thing that probably puts him in there. I'm a little concerned with Bumgarner here. Like, the strikeouts are about a strikeout and a half less than over his last couple years. There he's another guy drifting toward his sort of career averages. Like, he had been 2016 was K'd close to 10 per nine, sort of the same in 2015, and that was where he saw a kind of a somewhat dramatic climb in strikeouts. But now he's back to 8.5. He spent some time on DL. Are you concerned? The xFIP is way a full run higher than the ERA. 2.85 ERA, 3.89 xFIP. Are these like concerns for you? He just doesn't look. I hate to say this, like, look, because I haven't watched it or, like, broken down the game film or anything on him. I don't do that. But when I say look, I mean, like, look by the numbers. Look, he just doesn't look as good. I don't know. Does that concern you at all?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a trend for Bumgarner over the last few seasons. Like, if you look at how his xFIP has trended over that time, he's gone from a solid 3 xFIP guy. Last year was kind of masked because he had a little bit of ERA luck. But his xFIP actually climbed to 3.54 last season, primarily due to a slight increase in his walk rate. And the reason for that, and I always had difficulty kind of evaluating xFIP in this regard, because so the walk rate climbs from 1.6 to 2.1. In every other respect, he was better last season. But his xFIP climbed from 3.02 up to 3.54. So I just have difficulty squaring that circle in my own mind, like why half a walk per nine would be so significant, would basically be equivalent to half a run per nine. I don't necessarily believe that to be the true talent. I think that could just be a little bit of a blip in xFIP having to try to handle guys who don't walk very many pitchers, unusual pitchers like Bumgarner, who can strike out a lot of guys and not walk very many. So when I look at his underlying peripherals this season and I see 8.5 Ks per nine and 1.5 walks per nine, I think he's mostly the same pitcher he has been in the past. He's outperformed his xFIP dramatically throughout his entire career. A lot of that as well is because because he pitches specifically in San Francisco, right? So xFIP keeps waiting for his home run to fly ball rate to come up, because he does give up a lot of fly balls. But as long as he pitches in San Francisco, that number will probably remain constant. So with Bumgarner, this is a long way of saying you're not going to count on the 10 Ks per nine you might have for a little bit there. But early in his career, this is basically who he was. And he was a low threes, high twos ERA pitcher. I think he's just still really good. I don't know. I'm not super concerned with Bumgarner. I mean, the only thing, if you want to talk about concerns for playing him on the night slate, is he is 1,300 more than Hendricks, and the win expectation doesn't seem to be there the way it is for Hendricks. But other than that,
yeah, the win is a problem for him, because San Francisco is just completely garbo. Like, the lineup they tried out here on a night-to-night basis puts them in contention of, yeah, like, you know, you can make a pretty strong case to play Michael Wacha here, just because it's a good, sure, ballpark for Wacha. I'll start with Bumgarner. Like you said, when you are these prices and don't have much in the way of win expectation, especially on FanDuel, that's just a big problem area, right? Because you just need those win points. And so they're not as dramatic as they were last year, and that's good. You're not completely wrapped up into the win, but you are you rely on it to some degree. And if you're going to play on the Giants this season, then the wins just aren't going to be a thing that happened a ton for you. Yeah, Waka against them, I don't mind. He's just kind of a guy, again, like he's strikes me more as a starting pitcher two kind of guy on DraftKings, where he's a little bit cheaper. But when you look at this, Giants lineup, Span, Pence, Parker, Posey, and those are the only guys, those are the names. And then you get like, you still get a big panda sighting down near there at the bottom, like Ryder Jones. San Francisco is pretty bad. Waka getting close to a K per nine this season, 8.65, which is the best of his career. The xFIP's about a half run lower. I don't know. Can you talk yourself into Waka at all on FanDuel? He's firmly in play on DraftKings, 7,400. Do you think you can pivot all the way down to him because of the matchup?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think he's a great big tournament play. I think, you know, him kind of realizing his K upside is what people were projecting when he was in the minors. You know, Waka's a fireballer. Like when he was coming up, people thought he was going to be like a big time K pitcher. His first season in the majors, when he split between the bullpen and starting, he averaged better than a K per nine, but then it just kind of dipped down and hasn't really risen back to those levels since. But Waka's still just barely 26 years old. Like he still has room for improvement. And I think that he'll probably round into it something even better than what he is now. So I do like Waka quite, I mean, I love him on DraftKings. I think he's basically a must start there, even in a bad matchup with Bumgarner, given how short the slate is. On FanDuel, it's a little bit closer for me. I mean, I think I'd probably just, you know, all things being equal between him and Bumgarner, I get that Bumgarner has also a worse matchup, like the Cardinals can really hit. But I think I would just take the my perception of the safety of Bumgarner and what amounts to a pick-em. Like, I know you have to invest more salary, but just the additional innings pitch that you'll probably get out of him, the additional Ks, I think I like both sides of that and would probably just land on Bumgarner.
Yeah, no, and I think it's going to end up being a kind of a Kendricks, my guess is a Kendricks Waka mashup or a pairing on DraftKings tonight. I'm a little more bearish on Bumgarner here, mostly because of the price, 12,000. I just don't think you need to do it. Let's hit a couple stacks that we can take a look at here. We didn't even mention Gio Gonzalez. I mean, do you have any interest in Gonzalez before we talk about some of the bats? He gets a Milwaukee team that's prone to strikeout. Ballpark isn't great. He's kind of expensive too. Is Gio a fade for you here? Can you talk yourself into him at least for GBPs? I don't think he really strikes me as cash game viable.
No, and the Brewers also, like, they're one of the striking and outings teams in the majors.
That's a good term, striking and outings.
Yeah, exactly. I prefer to them in the past. They're just as bad versus lefties as they are versus righties. Worst overall in the majors. They can hit lefties a little bit better than they hit righties, but that still makes them basically a league average team. Yeah, I think Gio's definitely in play. I mean, I think Gio, a lot of people kind of overrate his overall ability just because he's gone 13-5 this season and has a 2.4 ERA. Like, I think people see those numbers and are a lot more bullish on him than his actual underlying ability suggests. The reality is that Gio's continued to actually just get worse this season. He's been on a downward trend over the last four seasons. Like, his xFIP has risen every year since 2014 at an all-time career worst now, 4.28. I think most people aren't totally hip to that. Gio's almost 32 years old, so I would suggest that this is probably the reality rather than any sort of bad luck. His K's are at an all-time low. His BABIP is 242, which is a full 50 points below his career established levels. So now, I don't really love Gio here. I do suspect that people will play him. I mean, I think that the average DFSR user will see the rest of Gio's numbers and think that our points projection seems low for him. I bet there will be some people in chat who are pushing for Gio tonight, but he won't be for me. Maybe not even for... I take it back. The matchup makes him viable for big tournaments, but barring the best possible matchup for upside, I don't think I'd consider him there either.
Where are we looking for some bats before we get out of here?
Yeah, I think there are a couple good spots we can look for the evening slate here. Thankfully, even though it's a small slate, we still have no shortage of really bad pitchers. I'd probably start by looking at the Blue Jays. They're up against Jeremy Hellickson tonight. Hellickson is even worse this season than he was last year. He's actually kind of back to his early career numbers, which is to say his strikeouts are around 5 per 9. His walks are down near 2 per 9. But really, the thing to key on for your big tournament purposes is a 34% ground ball rate. Hellickson has always been sort of disastrous when it comes to home run per fly ball rate, and he's always had difficulty keeping the ball on the ground. So it's not that he really makes mistakes up in the zone. It's just that he tries to pitch up in the zone and doesn't throw hard enough to strike anyone out. So just another great Hellickson line here is 249 BABIP this season. So you're like, wow, he's running hot. That must be, he must be really lucky. Well, now he has a 488 ERA in spite of a 250 BABIP. So Helixson is just a bubble waiting to burst, and he's still a really crappy bubble. The Blue Jays, you know, they've been sort of up and down this season. They're not at their best necessarily when going up against right-handed pitching, but I think they have enough bats there, particularly at the top of the lineup, to punish a guy like Helixson.
Yeah, no, there's just a couple bad pitchers here. He's one of them. That's actually funny because the Baltimore's favored in that game. Baltimore has more implied runs than Toronto at 5.3 to Toronto's 4.7, which is, strikes me as a little weird considering Estrada's just a better arm, much better arm than Helix, and I guess it's maybe just coming in all on the Baltimore side of the bats.
Dealing with Estrada because, yeah, like he has a lot of strikeouts, but he also gives up a ton of fly balls and a ton of home runs. Like, His ground ball rate this year is one of the lowest I've ever seen at 30.1%. That means 70% of the time someone makes contact, the ball doesn't go on the ground. And he's having a kind of a weird situation as well where his career BABIP is super, super low based on his high fly ball rate, but that hasn't come to pass this season because he's given up so much harder contact. So he's at a 307 BABIP. And yeah, I totally understand why both the system and Vegas like Baltimore here too.
I like Marlins here against Lively. Lively is another guy who's complete garbage. 4.86. Oh, yeah. He's so bad, man. 4.86 K per nine. Walks just enough guys that when he's not striking them out, he's also walking them and just allowing just crazy contact all over the place. 5.64 XFIP. It's a great situation for a guy like Stanton, who you just – this guy's a total death for a guy like Stanton, right? Like Stanton, really, you just need to be – you need to be high in the zone and just try to get him to swing or just swing way away with, like, crazy stuff. Lively does not have that kind of stuff.
I'm already embarrassed on Ben Lively and his family's behalf here. Hopefully this, like, isn't the game where he had to get family a bunch of tickets because
– Yeah, I mean, I think you're going to see Stanton as a pretty popular play here, even in the righty-righty matchup. Like, I'm not just not worried about it. He's been so damn good. And I'm not even a person that's like, oh, he's so hot or whatever. He's just – he's putting together a close to a historic season right now.
That's your own podcast where you talk about how hot Giancarlo Stanton is, right?
Oh, he's a good-looking guy. So hot, he's so hot in baseball, hot in real life. No, there's just I can see Miami guys like Gordon, especially like Gordon, Yelich, and Stanton. I don't love Yelich as much, but definitely the top of that order against a guy who really can't strike anybody out seems like a good spot. Even Real Muto, if you were to bat up higher in the lineup at 2,600 on FanDuel, seems like a pretty good deal. All right, we're gonna get out of here for the day. Plenty of all-day baseball to kind of wet your beak on. Gnash your teeth, I don't know, whatever you do to get to get yourself excited for day baseball. We also make, as a reminder, go out and check our NFL podcast out. We have one up already where we talked about some early week one thoughts. We have another one going up today, so go over, rate and review that on iTunes and give a listen. We've gotten really good feedback on the NFL as well. So everything you need to cover yourself for DFS, dfsr.com/NFL will also get you that free 3-day trial. All right, buddy, enjoy talking to me in about 15 minutes when we do an NFL podcast, but everyone else enjoy the rest of their day in baseball.
Sounds good.